Vrindavan Mahimamrita ki jai, Prabhulananda Saraswati Pada ki jai, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. So now we're on this point of this enchantment of the land of Vrindavan. This is called, who will not worship Vrindavan? Who will not worship Vrindavan? Asks the author. Are you one of those fools? Let's find out. Chapter 4, verse 40. Verse 50. 132. So we hear all these glories about the enchantment of Vrindavan. So now the author is saying, hearing all this, who amongst you will not worship Vrindavan? I can read this verse. Sada kila nitya smara tarala radha madhupati spurad vidya vidyamaya sakala damo pari sada samadura yoj vala yadibir itara sravabhibhava krit vuvipraptam Vrindavanam iram maho ko na bhajate. Alas, who will not worship the abode in this world called Vrindavan, where Sri Radha and the Lord of Mathura Marupati, where Radha Marupati eternally enjoy their pastimes, which is superior to all material and spiritual abodes, and which by Vrindavan's sweetness and brightness has defeated all their abodes. He's saying, who will not worship this Vrindavan? It's the greatest place in the entire world. Even if you take any material place, even up to the celestial abodes of Indra, Nandakanan Gardens and Swargaloka, this terrestrial Bhoma Vrindavan is much more glorious and opulent and sweet and attractive and pleasing and enjoyable than even Swargaloka. And now if we make a comparative study of Vrindavan with any other transcendental abode, a Tirtha or Dham, or a spiritual planet, Vaikuntha Dham, Ayodhya Dham, or Dwarka Dham, or any Vaikuntha planets, or the abodes of any of the avatars, or all the thousands of Vishnu forms. They're nothing. There's so much sweetness and brightness. Even the sweetness and brightness of Vrindavan has defeated all the other. Madhurya Ujvala Adibir Itara Sarabhibhav Krid Swamadhurya, with her sweetness. And Ujvala Adibira, Madhurya Ujvala, so it's a translation, by her sweetness and brightness. But actually, Sakala Dhammapari Sada, Vidya Vidya Maya. There's some more translations here. Nitya Smara Tarala Aramarapati. Nitya Smara Tarala Sada Kailan. And this Vrindavan, Radha Madhupati, are always playing. Sada Kailan, they're always playing. And what so Sada Kailan means that Radha Madhupati, Radha and Krishna are always playing. Kailan. And what are they playing at? Nitya Smara Tarala. Tarala. I think Tarala means waves. They're always relishing waves. Eternally relishing waves of cupidity. Smara means erotic love. Sada Kailan, always playing, always playing. And what are they playing? Nitya Smara Tarala. They're playing in the waves of eternal, erotic, loving pastimes in Vrindavan. And Madhupati, because Madhu, this, another name for Mathura is Madhu something, Madhupuri, it's called Madhupuri. Madhupuri. So he's Madhupati. Pati means the lord of the master of Mathura. But that doesn't make sense because there's no Radha in Mathura. So Madhupati, the translations were Radha and the lord of Mathura. But here Madhupati means, Radha Madhupati means, Madhu means honey. and Pati, because it's Krishna and Radha in Vrindavan. We're talking about Vrindavan. So where does Mathura Nath come in? When that's the separation, pravas rag, that's not too desirable for Radharani. There's no pleasure there in Krishna being in Mathura. So Radha Madhupati means Radha and the Lord of her sweet lips. The Lord of Radharani's sweet lips is Krishna. Madhu Adara, Madhu Adara. Radharani's Adar are full of sweet honey, honey sweetness, which Krishna loves to sip. He gets so intoxicated when he's sipping the sweet nectar of Radharani's lips that he even bites her lips. And the intimacy of loving exchanges. Sada Kaila Nitya Smara Tarala Radha Madhupati. So Madhupati means the Lord of the relisher, the controller of the sweetness of Radharani's lips. Spura Vidya Vidyamaya Sakala Dhammapari. This Upari Dham, eternally, this is the top of all Dhams, Sarva Dham, Sakala Dham, Upari Sada. Vrindavan is eternally Upar, is eternally the topmost in all categories. How is it the topmost? Because of the Madhurya Ras here. And the Madhurya Ras here, someone can argue, well, by Kunta Dham, there's also Madhurya Ras, Lakshmi Narayan. They have conjugal love, Swakiya Bhav, married husband and wife, Lakshmi Nath, Vaikuntha Nath and Lakshmi Devi, Narayan and Lakshmi, Vishnu and Lakshmi. But it's not, it says here, Swa Madhurya Ujvala, Adibir. Adibir means beginning from this topmost position, Ujvala, Ujvala Shinghar Ras. Ujvala Shinghar Madhurya Ras of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. This cannot be matched anywhere in the universe. This is a distinguishing characteristic of Vrindavan, which makes it so sweet. Madhurya means sweet. So Vrindavan excels all holy dhams in the sweetness of rasa expression. The sweetest expression of rasa anywhere in the universe is Madhurya and Vaikuntha. But that's conjugal love and married husband and wife. But even sweeter, the topmost sweetness is Parakiya Bhav of Radha Krishna Vrindavan, that's Ujvala, Madhurya Ujvala Shinghar Ras, unexcelled, unmatched, unequaled, incomparable sweetness. And it's Ujvala means it's so brilliant that it lights up the entire universe and it lights up the hearts of all the yogis and they become amazed. Shrutibhir Vimrigyam. They become amazed by the love of the gopis for Krishna Vrindavan. So who would not worship such a place as this Vrindavan, which is the abode of all this? Very wonderful verse. There's another translation here about the wonderful enchantment of this Vrindavan. Chapter 4, verse 50. Who will not worship this earthly Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna eternally enjoy transcendental amorous pastimes? Vrindavan is situated above all other places. The residence of the enlightened and the ignorant, the vidya and avidya, mana. And Vrindavan, with its sweetness, splendor, and host of other virtues, has defeated all their places. So wherever anyone's residing, even lower planets or higher planets, ignorant means, avidya means without knowledge of God or ignorance of God. The lower planetary systems, the higher subterranean heavenly planets, where all the demons and rakshas enjoy their tamasic pleasures, or the earth, or the celestial planets where they enjoy the rajasic pleasures, or the higher janalok, mahalok, tapalok. They enjoy the sattvic ecstasies of meditation and absorbing themselves in paramatma dhyan. There's nothing compared to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is so extraordinary. Now there's the verse, chapter 2, verse 98. And here he simply exclaims, after all this enchantment and all this wondrous features of Vrindavan, the author is simply saying, oh Jeeves, hanta hanta jiva, page 74. Chit-chakti sindhu-bandhuram advayam anandam adbhutakaram tadbindu yakchidatmaka svaratatvam kunjorakshitam sarasam. All living entities, O jivas, you are drops from the ocean of spiritual potency. Chit Shakti Bandhuram. O spirit souls, just meditate on the blissful, enchanting, incomparable, sweet ocean of spiritual potency in which the elephant of Sri Samas Shamsundar enjoys his pastimes. Chidatmaka, Tadbindu Yuk Chidatmaka. Kunja, Kunjaro, Kunjaro means elephant. Ikshitam, Sarasam, he's Smaratatvam, Chidatmaka. Smaratatvam, Kunjaro, Kshitam, Sarasam. Inconceivable, blissful, transcendental realm. Bindu Yuk, Chidatmaka. Drop. Of Chidatma. Smaratatvam. Shamsundar is enjoying his erotic loving pastimes like an elephant seeing his own rasa. This is the highest expression of the experience of Vrindavan. To experience Vrindavan in the service of Krishna, this ecstasies of divine love. It's another translation here, you can see. O drop of spiritual potency, Bindu. O spirit soul, please meditate on the blissful, beautiful, wonderful, sweet ocean of spiritual potency. Or the elephant Sri Krishna splashes as he enjoys his pastimes. He's splashing in the ocean. Okshitam sarasam. Sarasam means, sarasam is a way of saying ocean. Oh, rasam means liquid. That with liquid, rasam. Poetic way. So that concludes the section of Enchantment of the Love Land of Play. It's a love land, and Krishna is the supreme lover, Shamsundar. Nityananda is walking down the street like an elephant, and a Sankirtan party, and Lord and Krishna is enjoying like an elephant, in a rasa-filled ocean, and he's splashing waves, and that rasa-filled ocean of erotic love sports, he's splashing water on the faces of the gopis. And Jalkali Leela. And the conditioned souls, if they can get a drop of that splash on their faces, then they'll be free from Maya. There are stories in the Puranas about sages that are so powerful that when they take bath in the Ganga, when they have a jata, I told this before, long hair, and they take bath in Ganga, Gange, 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 and they come out and they bend forward and flip their hair back like this, a long jata, to kind of dry it out a little bit, and separate it, it's kind of natural combing mechanism, kind of falls into place, and they gather it all together and tie it up somewhere here and there on their heads, and when they come out, these very powerful tapasvi yogis and sages, when they flip their hair and if some shudra or malesha is walking by and some of those drops, a bindu, one bindu that falls on their body, they get so much sukriti by that that they immediately become Brahmins in their next life. Describe. They get so much elevation, just that bindu from the sage's jata. the combination of the purifying power of Ganga, surcharged with all the sukriti and mercy of that sadhu, vairagi sadhu sage and tapasvi. There's so much power in a drop. So similarly, if Krishna's smara tattvam, the sweet, intimate, loving pastimes of Vrindavan, if one drop lands on us, then we'll be free. So the author is telling us, O spirit souls, O living entities, we are drops from the ocean of spiritual potency. Chit Shakti Sindhu Bandhuram. Bandhuram means us, we're bound. O bound living entities, your Chit Shakti, Chit Shakti, but I put it together in Sanskrit because Chit Shakti. It's Chit Shakti Sindhu. We're a particle from that ocean of consciousness. We are a particle of consciousness from the ocean of consciousness. It's non-dual, and it's no duality there in our original existence. And we're blissful and inconceivable, adbhuta akara. Adbhuta akara, akara means sounds, inconceivable sounds. And that bindu, and Krishna himself is enjoying this ocean of spiritual potency in Vrindavan. There's an ocean of spiritual potency here also, but this is the truth of divine love, smara tattvam, not jiva tattvam. We're coming from an ocean of consciousness. We're one particle in an ocean of consciousness. But Vrindavan is an ocean of rasa, smara ras. And Krishna is splashing like a free elephant, carefree elephant, enjoying in the waves of the Ganga with his padminis. Padmini elephants, female elephants, padminis. They're called padminis. And he clutches, that elephant will pluck some lotus flowers with his trunk and drop them on the head of his girlfriend. Krishna will pluck some lotus flowers with his lotus hands and throw them at Radharani when they're having splashing contests. And she'll say, that's not fair. It's not a flower throwing contest. It's a water jalkeli. And Krishna laughs and plucks some more flowers and throws them at Radharani. So this is the wonderful glories of the enchantment of the land of Vrindavan. Now this next section is section 15 in our outline. And we see that the author, throughout the book, there's a few thousand verses in this book, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, and there's several places where he talks of, where he comes out of his sportis and internal meditations on Krishna's leelas and the intimacies of the sweet rasa of Vrindavan, and he starts to address his material, what appears to be his material mind or the illusory energy, and oftentimes he's talking about Maya. So he has many verses, so this is a little bit of sobering up, you could say, a section of sobering up before we go forward. We've gone into the ocean of Vrindavan Mahimamrita, the Amrit Sindhu, the ocean of nectar glories of Vrindavan and the trees and the birds and the grass and the dust of Vrindavan and the cows and dogs and monkeys, etc. And now we're going to step back a little bit and see if we have any, if we're ready to go to the even deeper into the ocean. We jumped in and went down about 10 feet and swam around for a while and came up to get some air. When we came up to get some air, we saw that the surface of the lake was covered with oil. And we got all slimy and oily when we came up and poked our head out. Then we thought, oh, I want to go down again deeper. We have to get this oil off first. Wipe this oil off and go down. We can dive deeper into that lake of Brajaras and find greater Amrit deeper down. As we go deeper into the ocean, we find more and more interesting features. You find plants and fish, and you keep going further and further down the ocean. Then you find gems and jewels on the floor of the ocean that are produced there by different nakshatras. And you may find some oysters, and they may be yawning or whatever, and you see a pearl inside when they yawn. And you say, "Oh, excuse me, Mr. Oyster, this pearl won't do much. You can't really wear this, you don't have any fingers. But we can take this pearl from your mouth while you're yawning, and then you can keep yawning over here, and we'll put this pearl in a ring and offer it to my wife, or to my Thakurji, that's even better. He'll make a beautiful nose pearl for Radharani. We'll take this pearl and we'll drill a small hole in it, and then we'll get a golden ring, and we'll suspend this pearl from this golden circle or ring, and make a very nice arrangement to hang it from the bottom of Radharani's septum, or the bottom of her nose, and we'll dangle on the top of her lip. And when she's meeting with Shyamasundara, and she's feeling the ecstasy of love rising in her heart, and there's a particular ecstatic expression where the upper lip begins to tremble in anticipation of divine union with the beloved Shyamasundara. When Radharani's upper lip is trembling in anticipated ecstasy, anticipation of ecstatic seva, then that pearl will dangle and move this way, that way. So now, before we go down there for all those jewels, because the future classes are going in the direction of the deeper into the ocean of the nectar of Vrindavan, about the Sakhi Mahima and Braja Bhajan and Raghunuga Bhakti and Radhana Mahima and Radha Mahima and then Sri Krishna Mahima and Radha Krishna Madhurya Leelas, and then the sweetness of the flute. Many more interesting discussions and topics. So these are discussions by the author about Maya. And it's the role of a sadhaka, of course, to be absorbed. But when we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, or what we consider or think to be absorption, and attentive service and attentive chanting and attentive serving day after day, we may become distracted and lose our focus and get off the track, as they say. So Prabhupada Saraswati, he's reminding us in these verses that are sprinkled throughout this nectar ocean. It's kind of like you're sailing across the ocean of nectar in your boat, and every so often there's an iceberg. There's a big iceberg in that ocean. Big iceberg is like a huge piece of ice. And there's a boat called the Titanic, which was supposedly unsinkable ocean liner, luxury liner. And it shoved off from New York or London or somewhere, I don't know where. London or New York?
New York to Wales.
New York to London or something. And it was supposed to be unsinkable, and all the celebrities were there. And it hit an iceberg and went down in 2 minutes. It sunk and 2,000 people died in the icy waters of the North Sea. They went to their destiny. So we're sailing across the ocean of nectar of Vrindavan, and we might see bump into a few icebergs. And if our boat hits an iceberg, we may get sunk. So the icebergs are the Maya. So while we're sailing through this ocean of nectar, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, the author is saying, "Oh look, watch, look, starboard side, iceberg. Full stern ahead," or whatever. Look to the right, there's an iceberg off the bow. So be careful, sadhakas, watch out for these icebergs. Navigate properly, stay on the course, follow the map. Stay in the ocean of nectar of Vrindavan and serving Radha Krishna with pure mind and heart. Be careful. I'm warning you, there are icebergs there in the ocean. Until you get to the safe harbor of Prakat Leela of Radha and Krishna, there are icebergs to sink the boat of bhakti. So he's warning us about that. So chapter 8, verse 95. And here he's talking about the natural absorption. The mind will naturally become absorbed in the form of the opposite sex. So he's saying, Vina Svatmaram Eshvara Harim Amugdas Tribhuvane Yuvatya Bhave Ko Bhattasura Varo Vamuni Vara Sitas Tasmat Tasyash Chakita Chakito Turat Tarata Sada Brindaranya Nivas Rasano Pashta Vijayi. Who among the best sages and demigods in the three worlds, other than the self-satisfied Sri Hari, does not become bewildered by the influence of a woman? Therefore, one should remain extremely careful regarding women while controlling one's tongue and genital. One should live in Vrindavan, Rasanopasta Vijayi Nivas. Sada Brindaranya Nivas, Brindaranya Nivas. We should, Nivas, Vrindavan Nivas, Raja Nivas. We should always live in Vrindavan. And that's what Rupa Goswami is telling us also in Upadeshamrita, live in Vrindavan. But he starts off by saying, we should, rasana, rasana means taste, rasano. Rasana means the tongue or the taste, and upashta means the genital. Vacho vegam manasakrota vegam jiva vegam. And there he says, udara pashta vegam, udara pashta vegam. Udara, udara means belly, damodar. Udara pashta, upashta vegam. Apashta means the genital. So he's saying that, the he's saying there, the vacho vegam, vacho means words. Bhagavan Vacha, Arjuna Vacha means words and tongue, but rasana also means tongue. So control these things, the tongue and the genital. It's often told, Prabhupada said, they go in a straight line. If the tongue is uncontrolled, and one says anything, nonsense, and eats anything, or too many things, and even too much opulent mahaprasad, overstuffing his belly, then the straight line is tongue, belly, genital. The tongue uncontrolled, one eats too much or too many opulent, rich, sweet, ghee-soaked mahaprasadam, and that stuffs his belly becomes full and pressurizes and creates a passionate heat in his belly, and that passionate heat passes on to the genital and creates heat in the genital. Someone becomes excited or agitated, be they man or woman. So opulent stuffing of the belly with opulent prasadam is not brajavas. So he's saying that the greatest sages and only Hari, only God, in other words he's saying only God who is really, he's the real Atmaram. He is the original Atmaram. Only God, because we have this term Atmaram yogis, self-satisfied yogis, but even self-satisfied yogis can become bewildered by women. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I even see the wooden form, a mannequin or wooden form of a woman, my mind becomes disturbed. So he says, Tribhuvane, the whole three worlds, Yuvatya Bhav, Yuvatya Bhav Ko Bhattasura Varo. Even the Sura, the best of demigods, Vav, says, Suravaro Va Munivara. Suravaro Va Munivara. Very interesting. Ko bhata suravaro va munivara. Yivatabhav. Tribhuvana is very interesting. Beautiful Sanskrit. Tribhuvane yivatyabhav. That bhav, that energy, that love, that feeling, that attractive mood and sensitiveness of yivatya. Yivatya means woman in this case. Ko bhata. Ko bhata suravaro. The greatest of the demigods and the greatest of the munis, they, stitas tasmat tasyas, chakita chakito, duratara, they become chakita chakito, they become disturbed and influenced and moved. So one should, duratara, dura Dharatarata. One should be keep a great distance. Dharatara, be very careful. And always stay in Vrindavan. There's another translation we can see. This is a warning. This is a warning about careful icebergs ahead. Don't run aground. Don't hit the iceberg. 895. Without taking shelter of Lord Hari, the deity who is worshipped by the great self-satisfied sages, then what can any great sage or demigod, the greatest of sages or demigods, how can they remain unbewildered by the desire to enjoy beautiful young girls in this world? Frightened, stay far away from these girls. Conquer your tongue and genitals and always reside in the Vrindavan forest. So these are the warnings to the sadhaka. Even the great Rupa Goswami, who wrote a handful of books, and one of them was Upadeshamrita, which is a guideline how to live in Vrindavan. You want to live in Vrindavan? You want to live at Radhakund? You want to realize your Siddhadeya and serve in the Nitya Leela, Astakali Leela of Radha and Krishna? Then start with step one. So these reminders are good. It's good to sober up sometimes, take a cold shower, fast for a day or two, cool down. Tomorrow's Ekadasi, it's a good day to fast and to do some internal mental cleansing and analysis and accounting, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that Ekadasi is for accounting, for counting and accounting. Ekadasi is for counting, count more sevas, sankhya purvaka namagana nativi, more chanting, more bhajans, more astakams, more dandavats, more puja, more elaborate puja, shringar, and offerings for the deity's pleasure. And more seva for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Harivas, Harivasara. That's counting, and then accounting. So we count sankhya. We count and add, instead of chanting 16 rounds, we chant 64. And then we do accounting. And we see, where have I been in the last 2 weeks from that previous Ekadasi to this present Ekadasi? What have I done? What seva have I done to please Hari Guru and Vaishnava? What Hari Seva and Guru Seva and Vaishnava Seva have I done to please them? And what Jiva Doya work have I done? How have I benefited the conditioned souls? Because there's a relationship between Nam Ruchi and Jiva Doya. So if we help others, then the holy name will be pleased, because the holy name by nature wants to be distributed. Sri Nam Prabhu likes to be distributed. And he even sets up marketplaces for his distribution. So every devotee should be a distribution outlet for the holy name. Yeah, he lets the holy name out of his mouth. Let the holy name out of your mouth, then you become a distribution outlet. And let it go out loud and clear. Uchai, Uchaisik Japa, Utkirtan. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nana. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nana, not to be. Says that Nartana Puro. Says Krishna Utkirtan. That the Sadgoswamis are doing Utkirtan, loud Kirtan. Krishnot Kirtan means Krishna Utkirtan, Utam, topmost, loud, full-throated, full bhav-filled, loud chanting of the holy name. And japa and also in Kirtan. This is distribution outlet. And this will greatly please the holy name. And Nam Prabhu will be very pleased and move into the heart and take over the heart and kick out everything non-devotional. And enable one to actually experience a taste in Nam Ruchi, Jiva Doya Nam Ruchi. So that's the kind of accounting that we do on Ekadasi. How have I profited over the last 2 weeks in the devotional marketplace, on the stock market, devotional stock market? What profits have I earned? I've attended all the morning programs, or I've had my regular program in my house? Have I, in the last 2 weeks, every day for the last 14 days, I've engaged in 10 minutes kirtan in front of my deities, per my guru's order? I've sat in front of my deities with kartals, and I chanted 10 minutes every day, at least that much sankirtan. That's nam sankirtan, utkirtan, to benefit the cockroaches. Benefit the cockroaches in the house and the kitchen, the rats and mice, and what to speak of the maids and neighbors and relatives or anybody else who might be in earshot of your 10-minute utkirtan, Krishna utkirtana, gana nana nartana paro. Accounting. So we'll continue with these verses tomorrow about the icebergs on the ocean of devotion.